Wow.
Ooh. They had it. He listened. Jalen watched what Matt Ryan said. He said, I'm running that play again. I'm going to give him the perfect throw. Front shoulder, like Matt said, get it out in front.
Wow. Wow.
It's why you don't throw, though.
I mean,
it's why you don't throw.
It is why you don't throw, but. Oh. It's a perfect call. You hit quarterback like
there's three of them on there. So that was Peyton, Eli, and Matt Ryan.
You know, they always used to say, it's three things that can happen when you throw the football.
And two are bad.
And two of them always bad. That's the chance you take, man. That's the chance you take. You know, I'm not mad at Saquon. I know a lot of people are. I'm not mad at him.
Yeah, mad's not the word. I mean, he's had first 2 weeks, but that's a big drop. I mean, Kyle, we made Nelson Agholor into a meme for a year for a drop. And no, this drop was worse. Agholor's, by the way, and I always liked Agholor. That was back of the end zone, probably 30 yards from the quarterback. That, and it's supposed to be a drop in at the back. This
was wide open facing Jalen.
It's wide open. Now, Agholor's receiver, right? It's different. Sure. But, like, this was a bad drop.
And you heard Matt Ryan at the end of it. Like, they had it. They very clearly, like, I don't know what you were watching before the break, Hugh, but like Saquon very clearly had a first down.
It was not a first down.
It was not a guaranteed first down.
I don't think he's getting a touchdown.
It's not a guaranteed
first down. He's getting a first down, dude. I don't think
not a touchdown.
No, there's two defenders coming out. If he can make those guys miss, it's a touchdown.
You said
it's the most clear first down ever.
If that's not a clear first down,
dude. Yes, it is. The guys are behind the yard marker. Like, he's getting that. He's already running faster than him.
He has to catch it and turn around. Yeah, you know that,
yes,
right?
Yes, Hugh, but if and he catches it stride, which is where the ball was, he gets a first.
Like, Kyle, he was turned around to catch the ball. He still has to turn around and go at least a yard
to get the first down. An easy first down, man.
All right,
it's so obvious.
We had three quarterbacks debating there, and those three probably have like 750 career starts in the NFL between them. Let's add one more, and this is the decision earlier in the game, first quarter, to not kick the field goal. Here's Troy Aikman on the ESPN broadcast.
You know, I have these conversations with a lot of people. It's seemingly every day how much the game changed. Of course, the protections, the safety issues with the players, all that's great. But the biggest change to me is in these situations. I mean, going for it on fourth down, you see it when you're on your own side of the 50-yard line here. I mean, there was a time you would no more think about going for it here in the first quarter when you've got a chance to take a lead. And we've green-lighted all these coaches with analytics.
I mean, there's probably 1,000.
He ain't lying.
He's not. There's probably, between the four quarterbacks you heard from there, there's probably 1,000 starts. There's like, what, 7 rings, a million trips to the Super Bowl between them, and they're all confused, right? Like, Matt Ryan did say he liked the actual call, the design of the play.
But you run it.
But Aikman in the first quarter, and then you have the two Mannings and Ryan in the fourth quarter saying, like, they're confused at what the coach is doing.
Yeah, because you're in that situation, you want to salt the game away. It was during last year when we were playing the Commodores, and I was watching the game with a friend of mine, and it's a similar situation. And he said, Hugh, what are you doing? He said, what are they about to do? I said, well, they're going to run the ball. Guess what, Joe? I look like a fool. They were throwing the ball and threw the ball so much that they put the ball in harm's way and almost lost the game.
Yeah.
That's what analysts tell you. Seth had a point this morning that I forgot about. There was a Super Bowl lost doing the same thing. Marshawn Lynch gets you all the way down to the 1 yard line, and you think that's an easy run, easy money. They throw the ball. Analytics, man. I mean, it is what it is. And a lot of coaches, and after that, who was it? Coach Carroll came in there and said, hey, and that was the right call in that situation. He defended it.
So, and you know what? And similar to that play, right? Because what Sirianni was saying last night is they were crowding the line. The run was going to be really hard. Belichick did the same thing to Pete Carroll and the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. The Falcons baited them into throwing the football last night. You could say Saquon should have caught it. They baited them.
But he was wide
open. Okay, but maybe their plan was... No, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Kyle.
It was an easy first down.
If you asked the Falcons before the play, forget the outcome, do you want the Eagles to run or throw? What do you think they would have said?
I want them to be aggressive and
what
win the game.
What do you think the Falcons would have said?
What they would rather them do? Probably throw.
But then they baited them into the throw!
But that doesn't matter.
Yes,
because
it does.
No, it doesn't. He was wide open. The play call worked.
Saquon
just dropped it. Yes, it did. The play call worked. The players didn't execute it. The play call worked.
Guess what? That's part of football. Sometimes the play call doesn't. The play call works, and they don't execute.
No, those are two different things.
They gave them 40 seconds. 40 seconds and the same outcome.
Joe, if five guys are running wide open, but Jalen Hurts throws a worm burner, is that the play call not working or the players not executing? These are two separate entities.
The point is, they can't stop the clock. And the Eagles did the only thing that could stop the clock. There's one way the clock stops.
Is if they, the clock does matter. It did. Like for me, as a school football player,
it matters.
The biggest thing that I want to do in that, I want to bleed the clock. Like, I hear you saying the way that they went down the field and scored.
You're not recognizing if they have 40 seconds. You're extrapolating drive they scored on.
Not down in four plays,
hold
man.
On, but they would have had to spike the football if they had less time. Like
they're going to throw out routes to the sideline. I mean, we don't know that. The lesson here is they carved up our defense like they were freaking soft butter, dude.
I get it, but they were given
you got
life.
Less time to
they
do
were,
it.
They were dead when when that game went to the 2-minute warning. The Falcons were a dead team, and the combination of Sirianni and Saquon gave them life.
Yeah, Saquon needs to catch the ball.
Do you agree that it's harder to execute in that situation with 40 seconds on the clock or a minute left on the clock as opposed to a minute and 40?
Yes, but we're talking out of both sides of our mouth when they say, because we're saying then we got to go for it on fourth. Then you're going to give them an even shorter field in less time. It doesn't make any sense.
What I'm saying is this.
And, it would have been a longer field.
Consistency.
I'm not even talking about
time out. It would have been a longer field. The play is on the 10-yard line.
No, but they only need to get in a field goal range, Joe, not in the end zone.
No. Okay.
You're talking 70 yards for about like 50, 60. I mean, like,
there's an outcome that no one is talking about today. They could got the first down running the ball. Everyone tells me it's the best offensive line in the league.
But they also might not
run it.
But they also might not have.
Of course not. But they also might have. Like, the best possible scenario could have been a run for the first down.
Okay, but I know what I saw, and I saw Saquon wide open drop a catch.
I get it. All right, let's go to Derek, who's up next. What's up, Derek?
Yo, what's going on, man?
Derek!
Derek. I mean, that.
Yo, Hugh.
Yes.
You on point with a lot of stuff, but yesterday you was all over Jahan Dotson saying Brian Mitchell was saying this, he didn't want to compete, he's this, he's that. Now after that, you acting like the Eagles did him a disservice, like he's working hard in practice and he not get rewarded. Like, I'm confused a little bit.
Okay, let me explain it to you, Derek. I'm going to explain it to you. Because I said Nick Sirianni talked about he gave him high praise. So he was giving him high praise about being here and getting an opportunity and how they traded for him. That's why I went to that route. You're right. I said that yesterday, and then I heard the press clippings when Nick Sirianni talked about how he's been working hard and all this other stuff. So give him an opportunity. That's what he's here for.
This is about the reason why I called. Nick Sirianni, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say he's a bad coach. I'm not going to say he's a good coach. I just think that he's way too emotional, bro. Like when Chaucer got, Gardner
CJ,
got
GJ,
that,
yeah,
that stop,
with that hit.
That was a big stop.
That was a monster hit, though, man.
Over.
Yeah.
The game was not over. He ran down like a kid to celebrate with him, and the game wasn't even over. You don't do all that until the game is over, bro. I just think that he's way too emotional, and he just gets caught up in the moment. Like, you can't tell me that you'd rather be 0-0 or up 3-0. At home, right? Take the point.
Especially
bro.
When you don't have A.J. Brown. Like, your best red zone threat is not there. Derek, I agree. It doesn't make sense. David in Westchester. Hey, David.
Joe, I love when you lose control of your radio show. This is great.
Today's one of those days. And it usually happens after losses. I can't think straight. I want to scream about the coach. And then I got Hugh and Kyle screaming at each other. It's great stuff.
Crop to Kyle, man. He's on fire. I had a little soiree last night to celebrate an Eagles victory, and my drunk uncle, right, hooked up with my ugly girlfriend, and they ran off to Mexico to get married. That's the kind of night
I caught. I caught that.
Yeah. Some unk talk.
Yeah. Hey, I caught that.
But this defense is totally inept, and I can't add anything that hasn't already been said. You know, they couldn't even stop you if you were running the ball, Joe. It's actually just that bad. And that's how he fought. But I want to get to the problem in the room, which is their head coach. Nick Sirianni should not be a head coach in the NFL. His fingerprints are all over the team. In week one, when he was going, when Jalen was just holding the ball, that's left over from Sirianni just whispering in his ear for last year, make the big play, make the big play, make the big play, instead of doing a 1-2-3 throw, 1-2-3 throw, 1-2-3-4-5 throw. His decision-making is so suspect and so poor, it's just horrible to watch. As soon as they didn't go for it on fourth down at the end of the game, I was like, they're going to lose this game. Jesus, they're just going to drive all the way down the field and score just like they did in Seattle last year. And you know what? I'm not that smart, Joe. I'm not. But you know what they did? They drove down the field and they scored. And I mean, I started a fight at work today, so I could come home. I'm home now, right? And it's just don't realize what they do to you, you know, with a loss like this. You know, I'm just sitting there, and in the last minute of that game, I'm just like, oh my God, they're going to blow this.
Yeah, it's mind, and David, it's mind numbing, and the fact it's a pattern, man. It's a pattern that's gone on with this coach for a while. 215-592-9494. All right, Ross Tucker will join us at 12:30. His thoughts on all this. But there's something more concerning than just one loss. We'll get to that next. Not just the loss last night, but the signs of something that started last year. It trickled over to last night. We'll let you hear some audio of it next. It is the Midday Show, as always, on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yes, let me tell you about Hatfield, why we're doing all this arguing in this studio this morning. It's here, the most wonderful time of the year, football season. And what's on the menu for football season? Pork, of course. Get ready for game day with Hatfield and put some pork on your fork. Elevate your kickoff cuisine with Hatfield's winning lineup of marinated pork tenderloins, bacon, and ham. Whether you're a tailgate king or a gridiron gourmet, Hatfield helps you savor the taste of victory. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes. Find your flavor with Hatfield. Would have not made the first down. I don't think he would have, but I like friends of mine are saying he would 100% made it. So I'm back.
It was an obvious first.
I don't think it was. I really don't. Especially when you know you're taught in that situation to not give up the first. I don't think he would have made it. But still, I'll leave it alone.
Maxwell Manning was taking him past the defenders. He was gonna. Yeah, he was getting the first.
Let's not miss the larger point. He didn't catch the ball. The clock stopped, and it gave the Falcons 1:46 to go down the field. All right. So there's a lot to dissect here from this loss last night. 215-592-9494. Ross Tucker joins us in about 10 minutes here. But before we get back to your phone call, something we picked up on last time. Remember, there was a time last year after one of the losses here where we found out Sirianni didn't address the team. The players did it themselves, which was a little puzzling to us. And sounds like we might be there again. Reed Blankenship, let's hear him last night after the game talking about postgame.
What did they tell you guys in the locker room after that?
Honestly, I mean, just keep our head and help out. Jalen led everything. I don't know if Coach said a word. It's a player-led team at the end of the day, and we know that what we did was detrimental to us. You know, we made mistakes, offense and defense, but it's going to take everybody.
What was Jalen's message?
Pick your head up. I mean, this football, you know, and we just got to be better at doing the little stuff, the little details right. You know, we can't make mistakes, so.
So Reed Blankenship said that Jalen led everything in the locker room, not Sirianni. Sirianni didn't address the team. Can we hear from Jalen after the game on you know, kind of what Reed's talking about there?
I heard that the players were the ones that broke down everybody tonight, and the coaches didn't talk. Why do you think it was important for players to speak in terms of tonight after the loss?
Just in the moment.
You've been in locker rooms. I haven't been one since high school. How rare is it for the head coach not to talk to the team?
Again, I don't know the whole situation, the scenario, but it's like I can't recall any time where there's been a lot. Like, he hasn't spoken. He might say something real quick. I don't have a problem with Coach Sirianni not speaking to the team, especially if it's something that they want to talk about. Or somebody might have said that, hey, coach, let me get this one. Or something like that. I don't read that much into it. I know Coach said, like, it's going to be interesting to see what happens next week. Because right now, it feels like folks' seats is getting a little warm. They're getting a little warm. Not warm. Warm. Getting a little warm.
Warm?
Warm.
They're on fire,
people
Hugh.
Get a little testy about questions that are being asked. People asking, oh, hold up. Why the coach ain't breaking down the squad? Like, he mad at them. Don't be mad at the play. Well, you can't be mad at them. Yes, you can, because some of them did execute.
You realize it took one 1-point loss for this team to completely eat itself alive.
It's a house of cards, man.
It's not eating itself alive. I refuse to believe that.
This is exactly the stuff that we heard from last year. They're not together.
Can I read you a Josh Sweat quote from last night?
No. I don't feel like this is going to help me out at all.
Josh Sweat on the Eagles pass rush. Let me just read it. All right, quote.
Do I have to listen?
I'm not letting you put your head in the sand on this, all right? Quote, I don't know. We're not on the same page, man. We got to be together. Ain't on the same page. That's all I can say. We're just not rushing together. You know what I want?
I want that quote from this year.
Can we have a little justice for Hassan Reddick? Oh, it was all Hassan Reddick's fault. He was selfish. I'll take a selfish pass rusher over these guys.
Wait a minute, why are you looking at me like I was the
wasn't,
one?
Well, you weren't fishing for apologies from us last night.
We won one from you, buddy.
Wait a minute, why? Because
you told us Bryce Huff was better. He sucks.
I think he can play. I still think Bryce Huff can play.
He can't.
In what sport?
He that film is not a fluke. I just don't understand. I do understand. It's different. Like, it's a different animal when you're playing every down. It's different. He hasn't adjusted yet. He needs to take some adjustment pills. I don't know. Doesn't help that I'm blind.
Dude, I need some adjustment pills. I'm trying to watch this defense.
I watched these guys, man, for the last 2 weeks. And I think back on when, you know, and I'm being petty. I'm not going to lie. It's some pettiness to some of the things that I think about. But you remember when guys talk about the media, we bad people and – you know, we always hating on folks and all this other stuff. Dog, if you played better, we wouldn't have that much to talk about.
I'm not saying
nobody's names, but I mean you can insert name here as you please.
Go ahead.
Cats need to stop worrying about what we talking about, and maybe you need to work on your game. Maybe, as a former player. Maybe you should turn just one time, not the other people, but the football player. Turn the radio off and get your ass on the treadmill and do a little extra so that when the game is getting tight that you're not tired. Like, do that. Maybe you should watch film on pass rushers that have the similar body type that you have and learn how to rush the passer. Maybe you should do that. Maybe instead of worrying about what's being said about you or air quotes being hated on, go work on your game and be better. Listen, just because practice is over at whatever time it's over don't mean you got to leave the building, especially if you feel like work isn't done. Hell, that you as a defensive unit giving up damn near 400 yards on the ground in 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and guess what you got coming next week, or where you going to? Another cat that's watching film. He watched that game last night and said, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to the Pro Bowl this year, Alvin Kamara. Bounce back game, licking his chops. Because he know y'all soft up front. Y'all ain't getting off blocks. Oh, they looking at, they doing it. Oh, yeah, okay. Hey, come on, Eagles. Come on downtown. Come on to New Orleans. Ooh, it's going to be hot. It's going to be warm. Y'all ain't used to that. Ooh, yeah, we can't wait to see y'all. You know my coach say, y'all running around like that, y'all got a steering wheel in your back. Oh, y'all got getting drove all around the field. You got steering wheels in your back.
Yeah, it looks like that, unfortunately. Andy in Deptford. What's up, Andy?
Fellas, we live. We hot. Before I get to the players, I just want to get something that's kind of annoyed me a little bit. Not as much as the outcome of the game, but I know I'm in the minority with this soundbite. But like Jason Kelce with the whole chest bumps pregame, the velour suit with the Italian flag. He's not even Italian. I mean, like, drinking before he's on national TV.
That is not confirmed that he was drinking.
Wait a minute. Could you imagine if that was Dawkins, Trotter, Randall, McNabb, any other Eagle, the fans would be on them like white on rice. Oh, what's this guy doing? Can he act professional? What's he doing with a chest pump with fans? Like, I'm just saying, why does Kelce always get such a pass around here?
I don't think any of those guys would get ripped for that.
I
think it'd be surprising because that's not Brian Dawkins' character, right? This is who Jason Kelce is.
Beloved Eagles. They're allowed to do whatever they want.
I will say, Andy, let me say this. I hear you. I hear what you're saying, Andy, but I will say this. he's on brand.
Yeah, right. Like, this is who ESPN hired him to be Jason
job
Kelce.
That is ESPN
yeah.
Like to Andy, party and chest bump people.
Like, Andy, listen. I hear what you're saying. He's on brand, though. Like, and you know what's funny? Before the game, we all speculated. Well, it was some speculation. I'm not going to say we all. It was some speculation of whether or not he did have some adult beverages.
Because he was the dancing?
Because he was doing all the dancing. I was like, no, he's not. I do not. That has not been confirmed. Now, he was throwing out drinks. He was definitely doing that. But I did not one time see him take alcohol to lips. I did not see that.
The Eagles Gronk at this point. Like, just go there and party and be hilarious.
That's exactly it. Yeah,
I did not see that. I didn't. But I hear you. Because I know what Andy's talking about.
ESPN signed up for this.
Yeah, they know who they got.
It's not bad. It's just who he is. Yeah. Like, they signed up for the... I think Kyle made a good comparison. Like, the Eagles version of Gronk.
Yeah,
like, right?
And he's allowed to cut loose. Like, everything about Jason Kelce to me is genuine. The fact that he was on national television with his taco meat hanging out of his chest with gold chains on, I mean, and I just laughed because I'm like, he's on brand. Like, if he was anybody, like, I would have more of a problem with Jason if he was buttoned up and looked like those other guys on set, because that's not who he is.
It is pretty wild he goes from one to the other, because it's like, you know, wild Jason dancing, throwing beers, and then he's in the game, and he's breaking down Cam Jurgens' film. Like, he just goes from one to the other. Look, I have a lot of issues from last night, a lot. I can't spend any time today getting annoyed about Jason Kelce. I got the head coach, the quarterback throws a pick at the end of the game, the defense stinks. I got a lot of issues here.
And Andy, to your point, it would look awkward if Dalk did that.
Right, because that's not who.
It would look awkward if Donovan did that.
They're not like that all the time.
Because that's not who. Because then, like, that's where the judgment comes. But every time I've seen Kelce, Kelce has been that person. So I'm not mad at him for that.
Yeah, he's on brand. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Dude, Joe Kyle, what's up?
What's up, man?
Man, we lost to a statue last night. And the defensive line lost this game. Our defense lost this game. And the doofus coaching decisions by Coach Sirianni lost this game. And I don't really want to hear nothing about Jalen today, because Jalen played a good game besides that last drive. I don't know why he tried to force that. And he was pretty much double covered with the safety over the top. He was watching him the whole time. And we lost this game on the first drive of the game. Why is Sirianni going for it on fourth down like the game's on the line or something? Bro, take the 3 points and stop trying to put your team in a predicament, because Atlanta hung around the whole game. And Huff needs to – he has to go. This guy, to me, he's not going to pan out to be anything. And we got to face a lot of veteran quarterbacks this year. If we don't have any –
go where?
It's going to
wait
be
a minute, Terrence.
Season.
Terrence, I was going to – wait a minute.
Where's he going?
Terrence, where are we going to put him? Where are you going? Like, seriously, where are you going?
He has to go somewhere right now.
I have an idea. Ready? I got a trade idea. Jets take Bryce Huff. We take back Hassan Reddick. Who says no?
That's what I want. I'm more than ever back on bringing Reddick back. I'm more ever on that right now.
I think it's more on the coach, man.
But Vic Fangio is supposed to be good.
No, he's supposed to be. So he needs to figure out how to get him going.
How many coaches, again, that we have to – before these players are these players?
Okay, I was being facetious when I said that, Joe, because you was kind of backing me into a corner. But still, I feel – no, but seriously, Bryce Huff had 11 sacks last – you need to figure out how to get him going. Dude, that's on a coach, in my opinion. Need to figure out how to get him going.
Well, they better, and they better start this week, because they're going up against an offense that is darn good. All right, let's go to our next guest. Yeah, you know what it's time for, Hugh? A little football guy talk. Ross Tucker joining us, the Ross Report. You can check it out every day. Ross talking about the Eagles on social media at Ross Tucker NFL.
Ross.
How are you doing today?
I've been better, to be honest with you. I will say that helped. The little Taylor Swift intro always helps. It just, no matter what song it is, it just makes me smile, which I like. It makes me smile for various reasons, but I needed that, because Last night was a major, major bummer.
It was. All right, Ross, there's a lot of things to attack here. Let's start with Nick Sirianni's decision-making on field goals versus aggressiveness versus, you know, conservativeness. So first quarter, they go for the fourth down. They don't get it. Then we fast forward less than 2 minutes to go. No timeouts for Atlanta. They chose to throw the ball. Obviously, Saquon dropped it, which was unfortunate because he was open there. What did you make of those decisions? Because those really are pressure points after what happened last night.
For sure. And so here's what I would tell you guys. Number one, I didn't really like either one of them, okay? And that's not in hindsight. Fourth and four is no joke, and I think you kick the field goal and you take the lead in the game. And then late in the game, the issue I had is it's third and three. You have arguably the best O-line in the league. You have a quarterback that is a power runner who got him their first touchdown by basically breaking tackles and running through guys. And you have a running back that's very powerful as well. I think you do the, you know, it's like anything else, right? There's a cost-benefit analysis. The benefit of you throwing it and you complete it, okay, that's nice. But Jalen could have thrown a bad ball, you know, and Saquon obviously dropped it. If you run it, you know for sure that the clock keeps running. And by the way, there's still a pretty good chance, in my opinion, that you get the first down or you at least get to like within a yard and then you can do the tush push. So I didn't like either. Now, let me say this to you, because you guys know I spend a lot of time around the Eagles organization now with the preseason games and stuff. They probably have, and I've had other teams tell me this, they probably have the best analytics department in the NFL. And so every decision, this is not like Sirianni's just sitting there going with his gut, okay? They have all of the data regarding scoring a touchdown to take a lead early versus a field goal. They have all the data like, okay, if Jake Elliott kicks a field goal, that's fine, but then the Falcons get the ball at the 30. If they go for it, maybe there's a 50% they get it, 50% they don't. But even if they don't get it, then the Falcons have the ball at like the 5-yard line. And if you get a 3-and-out, you're going to get the ball back in their field position and probably at least get a field goal anyway. So I understand both of their decisions. I disliked both vehemently. I think fourth and four or more especially, you kick the field goal. I think late in the game, with that offensive line, that quarterback, that running back, I think you run the ball. Now, nobody's talking about, what was it, two other fourth downs that they went for and got? Didn't Jalen run for one? The other one was Goddard?
Yep.
Okay, so no one's talking about that. So let's remember that, too. All we do the next day is we just crush them for the two they didn't get. They went for two others. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and remember the situations. Were those both where it'd be like, yeah, you definitely go for it? I don't recall. One, I remember thinking, yeah, you go for it. The other one, I thought, ooh, I'm a little surprised they're going for this. But then he threw it to Goddard, and they got it. So that's how it goes with the Eagles. They're always going to err on the side of being the aggressor.
So, Ross, I'm curious, both with the Eagles and then your work around the league when you talk to coaches before games, because I don't know the answer to this. I believe in pushing the envelope. I like the analytics part and follow the numbers. But I do wonder how much teams look at, okay, this spot of the field, this situation, we go for it versus the situation. And what I'll bring up from last night is the fourth and four first quarter. You don't have A.J. Brown. So whatever the numbers say, you're at a disadvantage compared to what your normal team is. And then the fourth quarter, Kirk Cousins, without timeouts, those 40 seconds matter. He's off an Achilles, Ross. He has to run. Otherwise, you're wasting time in between plays. Like, last night, I felt like the situation should have been more important than whatever the numbers say.
Well, so I absolutely love that comment, Joe. And therein lies the most interesting aspect of analytics, right? So they have all of this data from years and years and years, right? And every decision they make is based on win probability and or the expected points added by going for it versus kicking the field goal or running it versus whatever. And I'm a fan of data. I'm a fan in life of using data to make decisions. However, that model does not have that A.J. Brown is not playing in the game. That model doesn't take into account what you just said about Cousins. Or does the model mention the fact that the Eagles haven't gotten a pass rush in two games? Because I think that's a factor. Hey, you know what? Maybe it does. And maybe that's why they threw the ball. You know what I mean? Like, maybe the model does take that into account. And maybe they were worried about having to defend Cousins in a two-minute situation. But I think, Joe, I don't even think you realize how good of a question that was. And that's what I talk to these guys about all the time, because they're constantly tweaking their models. But how do you tweak it for not having your best offensive player? Because how many times did the O-line give Hurts like 6 seconds and he still couldn't find anybody? It was getting very frustrating, especially earlier in the game.
It was. Ross Tucker joining us here. Ross, let's talk about the defense. You mentioned the pass rush. It has been non-existent for 2 weeks here. How concerned are you with what we've seen so far?
Yeah, very, very. So, and here's the thing about playing in the front seven, and Hugh knows this. I can live with a group that rushes the passer well but isn't great against the run. I'll put the extra safety in. I'll do some things schematically to stop the run. I can also live with a group that's really good against the run but struggles to get pressure. You know why? That's fine. I'll bring some pressure. Okay? We can't have both. We can't have a situation where they can't stop the run or rush the passer. You cannot have both. I'll say this too, watching some cut-ups of the game today that people have been posting. I love Zach Bond, okay? And I love what he did against the Packers. But that Falcons offensive line, I thought that was a really dumb game plan. I would have run the ball every play if I were the Falcons. The Eagles could not stop them. They were chopping down our linebackers, in particular Zach Bond. Like, here's the thing. He's never really played off the ball inside linebacker before. He's never had guys like Lindstrom cutting him down. You need to be an athletic second-level linebacker and be able to defeat. But he got this guy, Brandon Thorne, he's like an offensive line guru. He posted a clip 5 times. Chris Lindstrom, the right guard for the Falcons, is cutting down Bond, which is why there's a huge hole, and it looks like Bijan's running. A lot of that's Bond. So we talk about D-line, but a lot of that, first of all, the D-lineman can't let Lindstrom get up on the second level. But then also Bond, like, he's going to cut you. He did it the first 3 times, the first 4 times. But that's what happens when you have a guy playing off the ball linebacker that's probably never even taken on a cut block before.
So, Ross, like, as far as this defensive line is concerned, because, you know, we're in it now. I mean, it ain't a whole lot of options out there. Like, how can we fix, from your purview, how can we fix this defensive line and mainly this pass rush?
Well, so what I would say was somewhat encouraging was in the second half, Milton Williams beat Lindstrom clean for a sack. Jalen Carter beat Lindstrom clean for a nice pressure after that guy had owned them in the first half. That was where the one-on-one was. They were sliding left, and they were having the right guard, their best player, one-on-one with our D-tackle. Mm-hmm. Our D-tackles knew it, and they still weren't winning. That's the guy that has to win. And quite frankly, in particular, Jalen Carter has to be better than he was last night. They took him in the top 10. He has a potential to be a dominant player. There were too many one-on-one situations, Hugh, where he didn't even get a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
Lindstrom's an awesome player, but so is Carter, and he needs to play like it. The other thing is, when they're sliding left like that, then they're kind of sliding to sweat too, right? So then the other edge guy, Bryce Huff, they need more from him. And I think those guys were worn out because they were really, if we're being honest, they were getting their you-know-what kicked in the run game. And I think they were worn out. And then a lot of the passes were off play action. And then Huff's getting, I mean, every time the Falcons wanted to run right and get the corner, they were getting the corner. Huff couldn't set the edge either. At this point, Huff should probably just come in obvious passing downs. I think I'd rather have BG and Nolan Smith setting the edge and just let Huff rush the passer like he did with the Jets.
Mm.
Ross, good stuff. We appreciate it. Last one quickly, Ross. The Saints, Sunday. How real is this? I didn't expect much before the season started. Now they've put up 91 points in two games. What are you seeing from them?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we got to go by what we're seeing. They have a new OC. He's from the Shanahan tree. He is awesome. I had them as a bottom five O-line. They're playing much better than that. They've got a terrific deep threat in Shahid. Olave is silky smooth. Kamara looks like he's found the fountain of youth. There are not many games over the last couple years, guys, where I have picked the Eagles to lose the game. I'm guessing tomorrow morning on the morning show, the camera will pin me down, but I'm definitely leaning that way. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think you're the only one after what we've seen from the defense the first 2 weeks. Ross, we appreciate it. We'll catch up next week and enjoy week three. Thank you, Ross.
All right, see you guys.
There he goes. Ross Tucker there.
It blows my mind, and he's right, because they were sucking wind. How are you tired like that the second game of the season?
Week,
I understand it was
number
a tough
two. Week number two. We're not tired
and
week
you,
two?
Didn't you say we won the possession battle?
By 11 minutes. 215-592-9490. We'll come back. Hugh, you asked a question. I think you might have your own answer. How do you fix the D-line? How do you fix it? Is there any fix to the D-line? We'll hit that next. Your phone call is Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Got a pass rush. I mean, trying to calm down over here. But John's not making me feel any better. Welcome back.
Why?
Yeah, I'm not there, but I am inside feeling that. I mean, that this pass rush stinks. It stinks, and unless it gets fixed, they're in some trouble. 215-592-9494. A lot to react to here. Hugh, before the show today, you threw out a suggestion, but you said it, and I was like, you know what? Why not? How do we fix this D-line?
You want me to tell you how we can fix this D-line?
Hugh's idea. What do you got?
I got an idea for you, Joe, and I thought about this last night because, like, the bottom line is this. I gave it away. But Hassan Reddick ain't coming back, so we might as well call Fletcher Cox. I was trying to set it up, and I blew it.
It's okay.
But still.
It's all right.
Fletcher Cox. We got to get Fletcher. We got to call Fletcher out of retirement, man.
I'm about ready to see if your uniform fits, bud.
Man, listen, that thing will be kind of tight, and the movement ain't there anymore. I get manhandled by them kids out there, man. And I'd be mad. And I think you know how when you get beat up and you got to go home and get your Thule? I got to go home and get me a Thule.
I know we always kid with you. You couldn't beat Schwarber in a race anymore. You're not the athlete you used to be. Hugh, yeah. Right now, if my life depended on it and I had Bryce Huff or Hugh Douglas to get me a sack, current version of Hugh Douglas, I'm taking you.
I tell you what.
I'm taking you.
My spirit would be willing.
That's what I'm saying.
Like my body probably wouldn't hold up. Man, I don't get it. Like here's the thing. I understand that, you know, it's a smaller sampling size,
mm-hmm.
You know, and Bryce isn't playing well. But I feel strongly that as a coach, if we've made this financial investment in this guy, in order to make my defense better, I have to do everything in my power to help him understand certain situations. And I know, like, this falls on deaf ears because I've had arguments with my friend. Oh, you can't teach it. I believe you can, because I was that guy. Like, I didn't, like, playing from a small school and coming to the NFL, my coach took time out to try to explain to me different scenarios and different techniques that I had to use. I remember watching film on Randy White, the defensive tackle for the Dallas Cowboys, that he said, that's your similar. Like, you got to go to the lab, man. Like, if your pass rush is lacking and you can't get off blocks and people are violating you and handling you like you're a little boy and you out there, because that's what's happening. They're getting little boyed. Go watch film. Von Miller is not the biggest defensive end out there, but Von Miller understands the game and how to play with leverage. Like, You're never going to be, unless you're like a Myles Garrett or somebody else like that, you're never going to be at an advantage as far as size is concerned against the offensive lineman. That's not going to happen, especially with the guys that we have. Go learn how to play the game at your level with what you have, what God gave. You played in college. Hell, go back and watch film on somebody. Go find the body type that you play with that plays the position. Hell, go watch Hassan Reddick film.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's the most recent comp, and it was here in an Eagles uniform. It's like the Mike and Del Ran who wants to blame you for the loss, Hugh. What's
was
up,
you,
Mike?
Hugh?
What I do,
you
Mike?
You all that negativity yesterday, Hugh.
Mike. When did I say that was negative? I didn't say anything was negative. I was just pointing out.
You were right.
Yeah, I know. Mike, right. I love you, though, bro. I love you like you're a bro. I'm the drunk uncle at the barbecue, man. I tried to tell you.
Can't
overlook anybody. We are not in position as a team to overlook any opponent that we come up against. That's a fact.
I think we all get that now. I think last night was a little reality.
Yo, it took this moment.
Yeah, it took an L.
If you want to go a little bit further, Mike, I try because I know people mad at me, and I be getting a lot of mean and hurtful texts talking about defensive luxury, huh? With the snippet.
But it's not a luxury.
But dog, I told y'all, I'm not taking a victory lap.
Man, I know.
But I told y'all
that needs to be dropped instantly.
No, listen, let me, you will allow me to speak.
You were proven wrong last night.
No, and what I told you was this: in order for us to be successful, we can't ask our defense to be in a position that we put him in last night. I said that.
Well, then the coach just has to either run the ball or go for it on fourth
down. And that's the thing that I don't understand, Joe, because I told y'all, and you thought I was crazy.
All right. And Mike, I'm glad you called you out. We appreciate your phone call.
Don't you mean call me out?
Because you need it. No, you need to be humble. This is ridiculous.
You don't want me to cook. And I told y'all.
No, they're not cooking.
And I told y'all. 30 points or more to win these games. I told you that.
And you know what I told you?
What?
Are you sure? Well, I asked you. Are you sure this offense is capable of that?
Yes.
The quarterback turns the ball over every game.
Yeah, that last turnover, dog. We almost got through a whole game without a turnover.
Yeah, well, he has the most turnovers in the league since the start of last year. So all the Jalen Hurts people, take a deep breath.
Hey, listen.
We
almost made it.
You know we like to do bad analogies?
What?
Okay. I'm going to give you one I think you might like. You think, and you keep spewing this, the defense is luxury, not a necessity, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You might say, Hugh, that having the most expensive roof possible is a luxury. You don't need that, okay? We have a hole in the roof. Rain is pouring in. We have a hole in the roof. Roofs are not a luxury. Those are a necessity. I'm not sure we even have a roof.
I tell you what, though. I will say this. This is a copycat league. And it was something that Ross Tucker said that really jumped out to me.
What was that?
Man, Vaughn was getting cut down like a Christmas tree. Like seriously. Like, he got cut so bad one time, I was concerned for his health. Like, I was like, damn. I mean, like, if you go back and you watch that film, Kyle, it was some violent cut jobs. Like, he didn't have a clue how to stop. I mean, I'm talking about, I'm like, damn, they ain't call that? Like, it was pretty bad, though.
Yeah, the whole thing was 215-592-9494. I don't know if we moved Hugh off his position about luxury necessity.
Listen, you're not. And I know people are mad, but it's the truth. I told you that. Like, our defense, like, right now, it's not, this is what we have.
I just have one question, because you said you can't, we put our defense in that position. Is there any position that you're comfortable with putting this defense in where they will come through for you?
Well, given the fact that, you know, our pass rush is non-existent, then no.
Okay. No. Well, then how is it a luxury if the offense has to put the defense in advantageous positions? Is the only advantageous position being up three scores?
I feel like,
it's not sustainable.
It feels like
we're screwed. I mean, like that.
No, I feel like this is fixable. I still feel like that. I feel like, but there has to be, like, accountability. Which I feel like.
Well, that's what WIP's for.
Yeah,
that's
why
we're
like,
here.
I feel like cats, I don't know what's going on, but cats need to get their stuff together.
They do. 215-592.
Go get Fletcher Cox.
90. I like it.
Go get Fletch.
Fetch Fletch?
Fetch Fletch.
Fletch.
Oh, yeah,
bring
we like
out.
Alliteration on this. Yeah, go
Fletch. Yeah, I knew it, dude. I knew it.
Because I got excited. Give me a moment. Fetch Fletch.
Okay.
Hullabaloo or Hoobaloo.
I'm not even going to try it. All right, your phone call is final hour. We'll quickly get to a magic number check-in for the Phils after last night's Phils game. and some news that may or may not upset you. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. If you're losing more and more of your hair down the shower drainage day or your hairline is disappearing, you need to visit my friend, Dr. Rafi, Precision Hair Restoration. He will personally perform the most natural-looking hair restoration using cutting-edge Artist Robotic or Neograft FUE. Newly single, have an upcoming wedding or job interview, or just want your hair back, call Dr. Rafi, 215-800-9-
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.